Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Stephen Long. I'm author of the novel There's a Somebody. And just a couple of notes. If you're in the Willamette Valley area in Oregon, on April 19th, I'll be giving a presentation called Creating Dynamic Characters in Fiction. So this is the fifth year for Terroir. Just a great series of workshops and lectures. You can go to terroircreativewritingfestival.com. And Terroir is a little bit, it looks like terror or terrier, but it's T-E-R-R-O-I-R. So Terroir. And my guest today is debut novelist Linda Watkins. I said good morning, but Linda, for you, it is afternoon. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I'm in Michigan, so I'm 3 hours later than
okay.
You are.
Okay, great. Well, I think the first thing I have to say is congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
For many years, other than my family's health, I think the thing I wanted most in the world was to be a published author. And you are that already, but you've just been so busy lately. You have a novel coming out next month. I think that's right. Is that still on track?
Hopefully. I've got the ebook version all set up and ready to go on multiple sites. The print version is being formatted by a graphic artist right now, and so that the print version could hold it up. I could launch the ebook and then the print later, but I kind of want to do it all together. But yeah, that's where I am. I'm hoping
sure.
for the beginning of April.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, let me mention the other couple, and then I'd like you to tell us about the book. So the name of the novel, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Mataguas? Is
right.
that mm-hmm. close?
Yeah, Mataguas Island,
okay.
Yes.
And okay, and then the prequel to that is Secrets. Now, has that actually, the prequel been released?
The prequel is actually up on multiple ebook websites. It's just an ebook. It's a novelette. It's short. In a sense,
okay.
It was an experiment to publish something as an ebook as an independent, an independent publisher, to do something small first to find out what all the missteps you can take are.
mm-hmm. That's
that
pretty clever. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah,
and it really did help because, I first got it up on Amazon, and that was actually a mistake. I thought I was hitting a button that was going to take me to another page, I was actually hitting the publish button. So... but then I'm the accidental publisher, but then I went through the iBooks thing and Nook, and then just this weekend I put it up on Kobo and Google Play, and that was an experience.
Oh, great!
So I mean, it's a learning experience so that when I put my novel that I really, really, really care about up, that I do it right the first time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is it too early to have feedback? Have you heard back from folks yet?
I have had an advanced reader copy out there. I've got 9 reviews on Goodreads, 9 five-star reviews. And
great.
It's out to some other reviewers. I solicited some reviewers' who are reviewer sites on Facebook. I asked them if they'd read it, and I have a couple of those. They're reading it now and going to try to get the reviews in by April 1st. And then a lot of friends downloaded the free ARC, too. That's an advanced reader copy. And I'm trying to get them, you know, spur them to read it and give me some reviews.
Sure.
So, but, yeah, sure. I've been pleased. It's some of the reviews are coming from people I know, but some are coming from complete strangers, and that really feels good when you get a 5-star review from a complete stranger.
you bet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's been good.
Well, I think we write, we read for different reasons and we write for different reasons. And I think to some extent writers write for that validation. And what you're describing is how that's manifested. When people say, you've done a good job, or I enjoy this, or it moved me, that's a big part of why we do what we do. And spend a lot of time doing it.
Yeah.
Writing is not something that happens overnight.
No.
Before we get too far, tell me about the book. I mean, really, these are linked, but tell me about Silent. What was the impetus for that? And without giving away plot points, where does the story go?
I guess, you know, I've always had stories running around in my brain, and I've never really, you know, I've written songs and poems and short little whimsical things in the past, and I always wanted to sit down and try to write, you know, an actual novel, but I never knew how to start, you know, go about it. I don't know, something my sister, Susan, who is also a writer, said to me got me inspired to try to do this, do this undertaking, and I started, I lived at the time on an unconnected island off the coast of Maine. There was no causeway, no bridge to the island. Everything, you know, all the only access was by boat. And I decided to write something with that setting. And because the genre I read the most is horror or supernatural, paranormal, that's the way I went with this. And I thought that the location of an isolated island helped to create tension in the characters, et cetera. So I started off just with a certain plot in mind, and it changed completely as I wrote it.
That happened.
Yeah, I started doing research on some of the of what once were the indigenous Indians, the Abenaki, to Maine, into their legends. And so I borrowed some of their legends. Metaguas is actually the name of their god of the dead. His totem is the rabbit, and the rabbits and the god of the dead play significant roles in my novel. And it just kind of went from there. It almost felt like when I was writing it, I tell people this, but it's actually truth, it felt like it was almost being channeled through me. Someone or something wanted this story out there, and because it just came to me. I would be driving in my car, and it would, you know, I'd be doing dialogue in my head. Then I'd sit down with my iPad. I used to, living on the island, I had to wait for a ferry an awful lot. So you had a lot of time, to just dead time, to sit there and write. So that's how it kind of came about. Actually, the story is the story of a family that is forced by circumstance to move to this remote island off the coast of Maine. The two main characters, Bill and Karen Anderson, their marriage is in jeopardy. They've been put in a financial disarray by circumstances mm-hmm. that are interesting. So they're in a very dysfunctional state when they get to this island. And she is, Karen, the main character, who's really the protagonist in the novel, is very unhappy. And after they get there, there are forces around them that they don't recognize at first that kind of pervert their actions and create all this tension between the couple, and then she starts experiencing altered reality and all kinds of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's that element. There's some, I guess we don't have to be delicate on the internet, but some romance outside of marriage?
Yeah, there's a very seductive young islander, Maggie McGuire, who Bill gets involved with. And on the other hand, there is a rather charismatic local fisherman that Karen develops a very strong bond with. So there's all this, that kind of tension going on. Their marriage, like as I said, is in jeopardy, yet Karen is a strong believer in marriage and really wants to keep her marriage going, despite the fact that she has an attraction to this local fisherman, Dex Pierce. Bill, on the other hand, loves his wife terribly and doesn't understand why he's involved with Maggie, but he seems to be helpless to break it
mm-hmm.
off. So, and there are some other elements that in there. that I don't want to give away.
Sure.
Just as
you've set this up, yeah, there's so much going on. I think people are really going to get involved in this. I say this in the nicest way, that there's a soap opera element. And by that, mm-hmm. I mean it's just a complexity of plot. so I would just encourage folks to pick up a copy. But this isn't the only thing you've done. So the prequel, we talked a little bit about Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a sequel that you're working on as well.
Right.
What happens in the sequel?
The sequel takes place 10 years later. After these events that happen on Mataguas Island in the original novel, tentatively titled Return to Mataguas Island. Very clever title. And
mm-hmm.
I can't say too much about it because it would give away pieces of the ending of Mataguas Island, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 10 years later,
sure.
and the family comes back to the island, and it's what happens to them then. And I think there's some very interesting plot twists to it. I'm really enjoying the sequel very much. I'm about halfway done with it, and I've been getting some very
mm-hmm.
good responses to it because I have a certain core group of readers I send pages out to, and they, you know, get back to me with their feedback, you know, like what, just so that I know that I'm not boring anybody or that there's not any real inconsistencies or anything in what I'm writing. But, yeah, I'm excited about that, too, and I'm hoping to get that the sequel first draft done by beginning of the summer and then work on editing for the next 6 months or so and maybe have it ready for publication by Christmas.
Okay.
And then there'll be one more book after that.
Well, and I was going to say, and maybe even more, but Puffin Island, is that the book
well, Puffin
you're referring
to? No, Puffin is, in my mind, as a novella, which will...
Okay.
Again, I can't really give away what it's about because that would give away some of what's happening in the book. You know, it'd be a spoiler.
Okay. So they're related.
But it's
sure.
It's basically going to be about one of the characters and what flesh out what happens to him and that you're going to find out about.
Oh, well, there's a clue already.
Yeah. I said him, didn't I?
That's right. you have to be
but
more circumspect.
Him. Yeah. It's going to flesh out what happened to this character that you're going to find out about in Return to Mataguas.
Okay.
And then I have another full-length novel in mind, which will take place maybe 3 years after what happens in Return to Mataguas, and then that's the end of that series because the characters
okay.
are getting old.
So, yeah, well... it's interesting. I went to a talk by several authors, well, three authors, who mm-hmm. write a series. And they talked about the author's approach of aging the characters or having them be static. And, you know, both are legitimate. You can do both. But obviously mm-hmm. you've chosen to be sort of real time and have the characters age and change as the story goes on.
Yeah, it's kind of essential to, at least in Return to Mataguas, that the Andersons' twin daughters be older. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it a 10-year thing, 10 years, and the next novel was. Three years, I think, relates to another element that I can't give away again.
Okay.
But, it's
shift gears.
In my mind, so.
Oh, and, well, let me just say, I think, J.K. Rowling, that's who I was trying to think of, apparently she had the various books pretty much laid out in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, that's obviously, in a series particularly, I mean, it's just critical. I wanted to shift gears a little bit, and
sure.
we've talked about the story itself, but I'm so interested in the process of writing. And
mm-hmm.
so tell me a little bit about, are you employed? Are you retired?
I'm retired.
I'm wondering how much time you have. Okay.
I have a lot of time.
So okay. Well, that helps. Because
and it was
writing
a really,
really
nasty winter. So. No, I have.
Well,
you said you still have
snow. Is that correct?
Oh gosh, yes. Yes, we still have a ton of snow. There's still
okay.
2 feet of snow on my upper roof. Yeah. Hopefully, it's melting off today. Oh yeah. Wow, yeah. This winter was a terrible, horrible, cold, snowy winter in the Midwest, which is probably the ideal environment for writing because you can't go anywhere here.
Boy, I don't know.
I'd
have to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, but I do get quite a bit of
writing.
But
you write every day, it sounds like.
Hmm?
Okay.
Pardon?
All right. I see. So you write every day then, it sounds like.
No, not every day. I go through spurts. And a lot of the time right now has been taken up getting Mataguas Island ready to be published. That takes up a tremendous amount of time dealing with the different social media networks, trying to get the word out there, the formatting. I mean, you know about that, and it takes a tremendous amount of time doing all that. And I'd rather be writing than doing that, but it's necessary. You know, you have to market your own material nowadays in this world. So it kind of goes in spurts. I'll get on a writing jag and I'll just sit down and write. And then other times I'm sitting here doing social media, Facebook and Twitter, and all that stuff.
I think the world has changed for authors in the last, certainly the last 10 years, but maybe longer than that. And it's exactly what you said, that I think for most of us, the days of Steinbeck sitting and writing longhand with a pencil and sort of not doing anything else, at least as relates to his writing career, those are gone. You have to be both author and salesperson. And I think it's not unlike running a little business. Yeah.
Right.
So
it is.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, we have, obviously know I'm in a critique group, and you are as well. Can you talk a little bit about the folks in your group and how you help each other?
Well, we started off as a writing group called the Noveliers, and we were all writing novels. Now we've sort of gotten to the place where the group has evolved, and now we're focused on publishing. But because most everyone has a novel either almost ready for publish or some of them have already published. We assist each other in discussing the different aspects of publishing, and we read each other's works and give critiques and do reviews of each other's works. We have some very, I think, very accomplished people. Our group is just a group of five, because we've had some members go in and out of the group. One of our members, J. Scott Payne, has just published his historical novel, A Corporal No More, which is a really terrific story about the Civil War. Another member of our group, Steve LaBelle, has a humorous sci-fi fantasy that he's in the final stages of editing called Bernie and the Putty, and that's a great book. He hopes to get that published. Yeah. He has a series, too. It's called The Universe Builders. Howard Rubeck has a series of anthology of short stories and poems out that is published called The Short of It. And he also has a series that he's working on. I'm not sure what the series name is, but the first novel, and it is called Shadow Pet, and it's horror. And it's going to be quite good. And other member, Darlene Blazing, has a novella published called Bargain Paradise, and she's working on a mystery that she hopes to publish soon as a full-length novel. So we're all in this process, getting in this publishing process, and that's right now where our focus is, and we're supporting each other in that endeavor.
I've been in lots and lots of various kinds of writing groups, critique groups, and I think one of the most important things is that the people are active, that they're actually writing. And I also, as you're looking for criticism or looking for suggestions, that it's that and not looking for praise or looking for an audience. If you really want to be better, then you have to at least listen to and then evaluate the suggestions. It doesn't mean you have to accept everything, but you can't you can't just be looking for a pat on the back all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's
absolutely
true.
Well, your group sounds terrific.
True.
In fact, I think I think you mentioned that they're meeting as we speak. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We meet every Monday afternoon at Steve's house, and we, you know, have an agenda, and we go through it, and recently we've been reviewing each other's websites, because we all have websites that we built for our work, and giving critiques of them, and which has been very helpful. And I just read, actually, they did my website last week or the week before, and I redid the whole website based on the feedback I got from them. So it is very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I just visited your website and was really impressed with the layout and the colors. And also, I think I know the story, but tell folks about the trailer that was done. That has to be the bargain of the century.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a website called Fiverr, Fiverr.com. And on that website are people who will do almost anything for $5. So I searched through book trailers, and I came up with this one guy. I think he's in Romania, actually. And he had this canned book trailer, the music, and you put your words to it. So I listened to it, and I sat there. I probably spent a whole day putting words to the music, so that was just right, you know, so everything was spaced just right, you know. And then I contacted him over the internet, and he said, yeah, he'd do that for $5. And and then at that time I had him also design a book cover. I think that was another $5, which is not the one I'm using, but that was the first generation of my book cover. And so I think it cost me $10 for the book trailer. And if anybody out there wants to, you know, try some of these things, you know, this Fiverr is a great place. You can get, you know, you get people to format your work into EPUB or MOBI, or do cover designs for you. The cover for Secrets was done by a different person on the Fiverr website. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a cheap way to get something done. I know Steve LaBelle's book trailer was done by someone on Fiverr, and I think, you know, his was much more elaborate than mine. It wasn't a canned thing. It was totally custom, so I think he paid $20. But
oh, well, that's reasonable enough.
Yeah. A lot cheaper than going to Hollywood.
Linda, before I let you go, I guess, or lots of other places, so tell everybody, you've got really two websites. You've got a website for the book, and you've got your personal website, and I don't think you'd mind giving out that information.
No,
I
wouldn't at all.
Can you let folks know what that is?
Yeah. My novel website is www.mataguasisland.com. That's MATEGUASISLAND.com. And my personal website is www.lindawatkins.biz, B-I-Z. And on the personal website is where I will post book reviews and personal stuff, and there's some samples of my poetry and my other work on that website too. But Metuglas Island is all website is all based on the Metuglas Island series. But and I have okay. some information in that website. There's some, I think some interesting information about the island that I lived on that was the basis for the background of Metuglas Island and information on the characters, the book trailer, and other stuff. Some excerpts from
well,
the book, too.
Well, I was looking at the legend. Sure.
Oh, yeah, about the legend, yeah.
It reminded me very much Joseph Campbell, Hero with a Thousand Faces. And I'm thinking of the symbolism of the rabbit and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind
and
of funny
what,
that... Hmm? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say one last thing. You're a songwriter as well, which leads me to believe that you're a musician.
No, I'm not. I guess my musical
okay.
instrument would be my voice. I've always wanted to
okay.
play an instrument, but never learned. I have a congenital hearing loss, and sometimes it's hard for me to hear notes and things like that, but I've always made songs up in my mind. And I had a boyfriend once who was a pianist and composer, and I wrote a lot of songs that he put music to at one time.
Okay. Oh, so you're doing the lyrics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I put melodies together in my mind, too, but I would have no way of, absolutely no way of putting them down on paper or knowing how to even pick them out on the piano or something like that. I do have a keyboard that I keep meaning to teach myself how to play, but I just never get around to it.
Yeah. Well, you need another long winter.
No. Next year I'm going to Florida if this happens again. This has been brutal.
Okay. Well, yeah. Linda, thank you so much for your time. Give my apologies to your group for taking you away. They sound like a terrific bunch of people. Maybe I'll get a chance to talk with some of them at another time.
Yeah. They are a great group of people. They're all very, very talented. I'm very lucky to have found these people. You know, it just is, it's just been very serendipitous because they are hugely talented, and I think they've made me a better writer. I hope I've made them better writers too, just through, you know, our work together
well,
and criticism, et cetera.
Sure. That's the way it works. Well, again, mm-hmm. best of luck. You and I will stay in touch. I want to know how your book comes, you know, when you get that
okay.
published.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to get my copy. So,
oh, of course you are.
Well, have a terrific day.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for your
time. Let me say again to you how much I enjoyed There's a Somebody. That's a great book, too.
Oh, you're wonderful. I read the review on your site, and I was so pleased. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. But it's a really good read, and I recommend that to anybody. Who, you know, it's a fun read. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. So, well, Linda Watkins, best wishes. folks, for the rest of you, I would love to hear from you at the Facebook page, There's a Somebody. And my website, you can contact me through there as well, and that's stephenwlong.com. So enjoy the rest of your Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. I'm not sure if I can hang on.